Good morning, City Reach. Good morning, all of our visitors and guests. Let's get right into it. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day, God. We love you, we praise you, give you glory and honor, God. I ask that you would allow what we've discussed to permeate, to encourage, inspire, to motivate those to do better in you, God, to be great in you, God. Lord, I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's get right into it. Want to talk briefly on our identity in Christ. Who am I? So let's get started. From childhood, most people struggle with their identity. Whether we want to look a certain way or be accepted by a certain group or draw the attention of someone like who's prominent or someone who has status, we all are in search to find who am I? I can recall at an early age being inspired by someone who I looked up to a lot. He was a great musician. He was very popular. I was inspired so much to the point where I began to get my hair cut like him. I had a part directly down the middle of my head. I convinced my parents to buy this expensive symbol only because he had it. So identity crisis, I guess you can say, happens from an early age. I hadn't reached 10 or 11 yet, so it starts early. All because I was trying to find out who I was as a musician. Also, growing up in private schools, going to private schools, I was always able to get along with different groups of kids. Most of the time, those kids lived in a different neighborhood. Their parents' income was certainly more than my family was used to. I thank God for my parents. They worked incredibly hard. And I didn't struggle. We didn't struggle. There were times we struggled, but for the most part, we had a great life. They provided for us. But seeing someone else whose life resembles something from television or the movies, you know, with expensive cars and always having the newest toys and the newest sneakers and everything, that would make you think sometimes. I was able to switch it up as need be. If I wanted to hang with the upper echelon of kids, I knew how to talk, I knew what to wear, I knew how to act. When I got back to my neighborhood or when I went to church, I could switch it up to that way that I needed to be. I believe it was all a part of finding out who I was. Me having an identity crisis, wanting to be accepted by everyone, wanting to be loved and liked by everyone. So let's take a quick look at someone in the Bible who I feel had a struggle with identity. Let's take a look at Moses. Read from Exodus 2. I probably read not a lot, just something that you get a basis of his beginning of his story. Exodus 2:2. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer, she got a basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood in the distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the needs and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. I'm going to stop right there. So here we have Moses being born to Hebrew slaves. And they were slaves. Hebrew people were slaves in Egypt. She had a baby, loved the boy, cared for the boy. excuse me. And, you know, she hid him for 3 months. She didn't want anything to happen to the baby boy. She hid him because Pharaoh put out a decree that all male babies were to be killed. It's crazy, right, that someone would want to kill a baby. But in power and control, and I believe in a struggle with your identity, struggle with power, wanting more power. So my identity is attached to my power. That can cause you to do some crazy things. She finds the baby, gets the baby. She can't nurse the baby. There's no formula. There's no Similac, no Enfamil. So she has to find one of the Hebrew women slaves to nurse this new baby. Lo and behold, who does she find? Who does she call upon? The baby's actual mother, Moses's mom, of all people. I think right there, that even lets me know that when we struggle with identity, at a later age, we can go back and remember that God was with us every step. God had a plan for us. Of all the Hebrew slaves, God allowed Moses's own mother to still be able to watch her son grow and take care of her son as a baby. That's the kind of God we serve. Man, he's amazing. He's amazing. All right, so good. You may also say that he was just a baby and didn't know the difference between. But there's a possibility that baby Moses already had attachment to his biological mother. My mother would often tell a story that I prayed to God I wanted a baby boy, and God gave me a baby boy. When he was born, I lay there and looked over at him, and he looked over back at me. That's me. And he knew that I was his mother. I don't remember it. Being a newborn, but I can imagine that's what happened. I always wanted a son. I loved always hearing my mother tell that story because it made me feel good. So, back to Moses. After growing into adolescence, Pharaoh's daughter raised him in the palace. He was surrounded by all of the luxuries anyone would ever expect of royalty. However, Moses knew that there was something different. He knew that he was a Hebrew. I believe this is where the identity crisis comes in again. As I mentioned in my personal life, coming from one area and being around people who were affluent, who had a lot of money, there was plenty of identity issues there. Can you imagine growing up, seeing your own people mistreated, they were slaves. There were so many injustices happening. Mm-hmm. And you had to keep your mouth shut. Can you imagine the battle and the struggle that Moses had inside of him? That's something that the enemy uses to try to trap you in believing that you really don't matter because you don't know who you are. He'll make you think you have to hide who you are to fit in. So one day Moses, he went out to where the Hebrews were working. They were working hard labor outside, and an Egyptian was beating the Hebrew. Moses became so infuriated. He kills the Egyptian and then buried his body. Sometimes hiding who you are can have you torn. You love this one group, but you realize that this other group is doing them wrong. You're torn because you're tied to both. Those decisions will really, really have you in a battle on the inside. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what you want to do, what is right, what should you do. All these years he played the role, but after seeing one of his fellow Hebrews being beaten, it enraged him so, because it's like, now you're hurting me, you're hurting my family, you're hurting my people. Now, we don't know if this was the first time he saw something like that, or it was the first time it actually angered him and it got to him. The Bible doesn't give us that account. Whatever it was, it caused him to kill someone, to murder someone, and then to hide. The next day, Moses sees two Hebrews fighting. He goes over to him and asks, "Why are you fighting your fellow Hebrew?" And one of the guys said, "Who are you? Who are you to judge? Are you going to kill me like you did that Egyptian?" Can you imagine? You think you've gotten away with something, only to find out that someone else saw it or someone else knew. Even if you don't think so, others can see you hiding. That can be physically, and that can be emotionally. You're hiding your identity. You're hiding who you really are. You're hiding certain things about yourself. This scares Moses to no end. When word got back to Pharaoh actually was infuriated and tried to kill him. But Moses flees. He gets out of Dodge. He's out of there. So doing wrong would really cause you to act out of your own identity, act out of who you are. Now, Moses having a life story that will cause you to question how much one can go through. It's an example of going through experiences without a clear identity and a clear understanding of your identity and who you are. Growing up as an Egyptian, I'm sure Moses dressed the part, spoke the part, acted the part, all while knowing he was someone else. Sometimes we can act a certain way to make it seem like we fit in or just but knowing your true identity is knowing who you are in Christ. Later on in Moses' life, God gave him a message through a burning bush. It was to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And Moses really had to think, all right, do I want to do this? Why would you ask me to do this, Lord? You know, we've always heard Moses had problems with his speech, whether he stuttered, or anything. It was just something that bothered him to no end. He questioned himself, and he questioned God. Being unclear who you are will have you questioning everything around you. It will have you questioning what's your purpose, what's your role, am I worthy, am I capable, am I able? And that's what we remember. If God calls us to do something, God isn't worried about that. So why should we be worried about it? He made plenty of exclusives. He would say, well, who should I tell him sent me? The time, they were polytheist. They served many gods. And if he would say, God sent me, they would say, who? God of the sun, God of the moon, God of the stars. God told him that I am. Tell him that I am sent you. That's all he needed. That's all he needed. Whether he was scared or nervous and didn't care, that's what he needed. God essentially gave him a new identity there. He empowered him to believe in himself, to believe in the God that sent him. And he essentially gave him a new identity. Man of strength. He made him a leader. His identity was tied to God, the Father. We have to realize that if we obey God's word and follow his instructions, we should realize and understand that our identity lies in who he is, who God is. Look at Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you, I knew thee. In Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in it. God gives us the strength. God gives us the empowerment to know who we are. We are only because of him. With Christ, we can do all things. We should never have to worry about our identity, who we are, how we should act, how we should feel. God gives us that power to know our identity. Let us continue to be who God says we are. Find your identity in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this message, God. We thank you for those who have heard, who have listened, and who have thought about their own identity in you, God. We are because of you. We are nothing without you, God. Let us be reminded that you are the one that holds our identity. And when we find our identity in you, we find our identity in life, God. We are able to do what you have called us to do. We are able to follow our purpose because we found our identity in you, God. Lord, we love you, God. We give you all glory, all honor, all praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Amen. What a powerful sermon by our very own Brian Williams. As he mentioned, our very identity of who we are and our calling can be found in Jesus. Who we are, who we've been made to be, who are our true identity, who the things that we do, the things that we've been called to do can be found in the one that created us. He's our designer. So we need to go back to our designer to figure out what God's called us to do and to do what he's called and to do the things that he's created us for us to do. We're all destined for a purpose. We're all designed to be here and to create an impact into this world. So our true identity can be found through Jesus. And there's no other place, there's a better time than to figure out who that identity is and to establish that connection to Jesus. That's why I never like to enter service without a call, without a join in to reestablish that relationship that Christ came down here for. And for his whole purpose was to come down here to establish a relationship, to establish a right path back to between us and God. Jesus is that way. He's the only way to get back in right relationship with Christ, with right relationship with God. So we call it the salvation ABCs. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And we call through, to call us, lead us to the salvation ABCs, like I like to say. Salvation ABCs is just leads us back to Christ and to the road of salvation. A, to acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And C, confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." A, acknowledge. B, believe. C, confess. And that establishes our relationship back with Christ, so that we can be the one that God, so we can be who God called us to be, so we can find our true identity and find our true purpose through him. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Listen, I want to be in contact with you. I want to communicate with you. I want to fellowship with you. I need you to text the word ALL IN, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word ALL IN, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Thank you so much for joining with us. I love you all. I just need to communicate with you. I want to let this thing grow. I want us to grow together. I want us to do what God's called together as a family. I love you. I love you. Thank you for joining with us. Have a great day.